I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is our car care show underway on a Saturday morning, a lovely morning at that. Sun's up, 35 degrees on the way to 57. It looks like snow on the way tomorrow through Monday morning. A winter storm watch in effect. We'll continue to keep you up to date on that. Dan Burns, Lloyd's Automotive, Grand Avenue, joining us. Dan, I hope all is well.
All is well, Steve. Thank you, and I hope for you, too.
Yeah, very good. Great morning. 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. You can call or text our car care show if you're having problems. That car, truck, van, whatever, feel free to call the program. 651-989-9226, and we could have some winter weather coming back tomorrow into Monday. Dan, I wonder if anybody's going to stop by and say, "Hey, Dan, can you throw those snow tires back on for me?"
You know, I took a lot of snow tires off last week, which is fine. Of course, it's this will quickly pass. But yeah, it's a little taste of winter. It'll cause the people that have not taking their snow tires off to pause and not do that today for sure. So maybe next week we'll be ready for that spring season. You know what we did do at Lloyd's Automotive, though, Steve, is plant our front pots. And I'm looking at the longer forecast. I'm a little bit worried about how cold it's going to be. I'm going to have to bring those in or do something to protect those. That's for sure.
Yeah, it looks like highs only in the 30s and some lows in the 20s overnight. And we'll get into that in more detail next hour on what you should do on our Smart Garden program here on News Talk 830 WCCO. But yeah, we're definitely going to see some snow. How much here in the Twin Cities? A little bit hard to tell. We're waiting on that storm track just exactly to see where the heaviest snow will fall. Dan, one of the things I wanted to ask about, though, is you know, cars that have been around a while. I always like to refer to my old pickup truck that's seen better days. I know you don't do body work at Lloyd's Automotive, but how much success have you seen people have cleaning up a rust spot here and there? Or is that just kind of fighting a losing battle at some point?
Well, it is fighting a losing battle. You know, for the short term, it works great. It cleans it up and looks better and makes you feel better about your vehicle. The bad part is, for the long term, it won't work. And the reason being, Steve, is a lot of that rust that you're seeing finally getting through to the paint down in the fender wells and all that is actually coming from the inside. So that the rust gets on the inside of that metal and works its way through, and so there's nothing you can certainly do to stop that because you can't get at it. You know, there's new bolt-on fenders and lots of parts that you can replace if you want to stay on it, and it's a good idea kind of to stay on it and try and slow it down a little bit. Perhaps the best thing you can do is keep your vehicle clean. That certainly helps with rust. But as far as stopping it, no. In fact, if you take it to a body shop, they look at it and say once they're right, they don't want to touch it. Because if they do some repairs on it, then you have expectations and they don't want you to have any expectations because it's simply not going to work.
Yeah, fighting the losing battle, so to speak. From our text line at 651-989-9226, I can't tell. It's a 2012. Anyway, driver's side seatbelt doesn't recoil anymore. Is there anything I can do to improve it, or is that something that can be easily replaced?
Well, it's not easily replaced. First of all, no. There is nothing you can do to repair that spring in there. Once they stop recoiling, it's because the spring has gotten weak or broken, and there's nothing you can do to repair that except replace the seatbelt assembly itself, which, first of all, beware, it can get kind of expensive because certain, as part of the you know, the crash system in a vehicle, the seatbelt is involved, and there's a thing in it that fires if your airbags go off that tightens up your seatbelt. So that makes it a little more expensive. And the process of replacing it is sometimes a little complicated because you have to take all the trim pieces off. If you're not experienced, you have to be very, very careful with that because those pieces can be broken and they come off hard. And it makes you think, as you're pulling them off, boy, how much more can I pull before I break something? And usually they'll let loose right before you think something's going to break. So it's uncomfortable to take those panels off. But they certainly can be replaced. But that's something you're probably going to want to get some professional help on, I think, if you're going to replace it.
All right, quick break coming up. We're just underway on our car care show. Dan Burns, Lloyd's Automotive on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Here's the number again if you want to talk to Dan about your vehicle. 651-989-9226 is our phone number. 651-989-9226. And you can call or text right here on News Talk 830-WCCO. It is our car care show. Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive joining us. And the number 651-989-9226. That's good for a call or a text. 651-989-9226. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's bring in Gene in Plymouth. Gene, you're on the air.
Hi. I was looking for your advice. We're looking at used cars, and I've seen some online that are a good value compared to not, but it says that they have been obtained through salvage and professionally repaired, redone. What would be, I just heard you talking about rust. What would be your opinion about some car like that?
Well, a salvaged car is a car that the insurance company has totaled. In other words, there was enough damage to where it exceeded the value of the vehicle. And then somebody bought it at auction or somewhere else and repaired it and now has it for sale. And so I think for a professional to be doing that is probably fine and maybe a good idea. For somebody that's not a professional, it gets a little risky because you just don't know exactly what you're getting. You just don't know exactly what the damage was, and so you have to be pretty careful about that. So if you can get a professional involved in the purchase of it and kind of do a pretty in-depth inspection, try and find out what the damage was that caused the vehicle to be totaled, things like that could help. But generally speaking, if you were to bring that vehicle into a shop like Lloyd's and, you know, say it's got a salvage title, what do you think? It would certainly cause us to pause. So it should probably cause you to pause, too. Just make sure that if you're going to do it, you have enough information to know that the vehicle is going to serve you well. If it's not going to serve you well, then no matter what the price is, it's not going to be a good value.
Dan Burns joining us, Lloyd's Automotive, Grand Avenue with St. Paul, our car care show. And Dan, that is great advice. If anyone's looking at buying a used car, private party, have it looked at by a professional, someone that works on cars all the time. Typically, when someone brings a car into Lloyd's, what do you guys look at when someone's contemplating buying a used vehicle?
Well, certainly one of the things is, we can get it up on the hoist and on the rack and look underneath it for any signs of rust or for any signs of collision. And those are two, very big deals. And then we certainly inspect it for all the maintenance stuff, the brakes and suspension and all the safety things, all of those sorts of things that we would look at. And then, you know, that you can scan the computer to see if there's any code stored in there that we should be alarmed about, or, you know, there's just a whole bunch of things that, that we can check. And then some people will want to get into the engine and do a compression test and things like that. And all of that's available. Maybe a little bit overkill, but the information that we'll give you is a great tool, first of all, in going back and negotiating a price. So I tell people, boy, if you're bringing it for an inspection, don't worry about the fact that it costs some money, because you'll get that money back from the seller, because there's always going to be a couple things that need some attention.
Yeah. On our car care show from the text line, my 2000 Trailblazer, the reverse went out. I was at an angle backing up, and it sounded like the breaking of a shaft. Can I drop the pan to make a repair on that? What could be going on?
Well, if it's just reverse, and if you heard something break in the process, that's probably catastrophic, and also probably not repairable from through the pan. That's going to be something that's broken inside the transmission, and probably a big deal. So oftentimes, you know, a situation like that will cause the transmission at a minimum to be overhauled. But the fact that you heard a loud noise makes me worry that something physically inside the transmission might be broken. And so the whole transmission unit might have to be replaced with a new or used unit.
So that could be very bad news for the owner of the 2000 Trailblazer. Let's go to the phone lines again. Tom in North Branch. Yeah, that doesn't sound good. Tom in North Branch, you're on the air with Dan Burns. Hello.
Hey. Yeah, good morning. I got a question. Crankshaft positioning sensor. I had one go out in a relatively brand new car. What is it actually doing? How often do you see that go out?
Well, it's on all cars, or on most cars nowadays have one. On most cars, it's a key ingredient in the vehicle running. In other words, it sends a signal to the computer on what position the crankshaft is in, which of course is important for the timing of the spark and the fuel injection and all of those things. And so it's a key ingredient, you know, very important part. And we replace them quite commonly. I wouldn't say every day or even every week, but that's a pretty, we just replaced one this week for sure. I remember that. But it's, I don't know. I mean, on a relatively new car, it's sad that it failed, but I don't think that you should be concerned that it's a common failure. I haven't heard of any model car where the crankshaft position sensor is a common failure. So I think it's fixed, and you probably won't have to worry about that again.
Coming up in a quick break, Debbie and Ogilvie, hang on the line. We'll get to you following that weather break in a moment. Real quick one from the text line, and this has come up before in the last few weeks for sure, Dan. Are there things we should be doing for our car's health while observing the stay-at-home order, and maybe not driving our car for days at a time, or even in some cases, weeks at a time?
Well, I think, not driving your car days at a time is no big deal at all. They're designed for that. And in fact, if you can't leave your car for a couple of days and it not be okay, say, for example, the battery goes dead in just a couple of days, you should probably have that checked, because there's something wrong. It shouldn't go dead in a couple of days. a couple of weeks is starting to get out there where, you know, some vehicles just won't stay charged up that long. For a couple weeks, but even at that, I would think that a vehicle should be fine for a couple of weeks. I said I've left mine for a couple of months, and it's been just fine when I went to start it and pick it up. So But the right, you know, cars are meant to be used. So I think that the best thing you can do to protect your car while we're in this stay-at-home order is use it. You know, you need to go to the grocery store. You need to do a few things around town. So rotate the cars when you're doing that. And use them a little bit. You know, use the car every couple of weeks, and I think it will be just fine.
Quick break. We have more on the Car Care Show with Dan Burns. The Car Care Show continues with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. We go to the phones. Debbie and Ogilvy, you're on the air with Dan. Hello.
Good morning, Dan. I have a 2006 Prius, and the driver's side door doesn't stay open for me anymore. You know, they've had those, it's supposed to have two stop areas where you open the door and it stops and stays there. Is that possible to replace that, or do you have to do the whole hinge, or is there anything anybody can do to fix that?
Yeah, well, without looking at it, I don't know if the spring fell out of that detent or what's going on there exactly. But those, yes, those parts certainly can be at least repaired. For sure, they can be replaced, and that will take care of it. I know what you're talking about. That's annoying when you're trying to get in the car and the car won't, or the door won't stay open for you, especially if the wind is blowing, and it should. And those parts are readily available, and we replace those all the time, or not all the time, but quite commonly. So that can be replaced. And that, quite honestly, that's probably what you're looking at, is that stop will need to be replaced.
You know, the hinges on doors, if you think about how many times they are opened and closed and how heavy those doors are, that's amazing engineering that they hold up so well. I've always thought about that, especially in the old two-door cars with the really long, heavy doors. I was always amazed that those things would hold up the way they would.
Yeah, they really do. And I think, you know, cars in general, Steve, are amazing with what we ask of them and the longevity that they offer us. I think that they're amazing what they do for us.
Oh, absolutely. Just engineering masterpieces, really, considering the cold, the heat, the day, night, bad weather, you name it. They are darn reliable machines. It's pretty extraordinary. Harry in Springfield, you're on the air with Dan Burns. Hello.
Yeah, Dan, you hit exactly on what you talked about 2 minutes ago, and that is battery drawdown. I have a 2008 Toyota Corolla, put in a new battery, and in about 12 or 14 days, it'll draw it down to nothing. I put the charger on there for about 20 minutes, and it's right back up to 650 amps. It doesn't have any draw, there's no OnStar, no heated seats. What is the normal drawdown on milliamps, let's say, 2, 4, 6? What is the normal drawdown when the ignition is off on the battery?
We like to see much less than 100. And the test for that, for us, is quite simple. We simply put an amp meter in series between the battery and one of the battery cables and see how much it's drawing. If it's drawing too much, we, you know, start eliminating things. And the simplest thing to do is to start pulling fuses and find out exactly which circuit the problem is coming from. And for example, if you have 250 or 400 milliamps, that will cause a battery to go dead too quickly. In a couple of days to a week, and something is that's supposed to be timing out and turning off is not, and that's actually a very common problem. Sometimes we'll find it in an accessory, a phone, you know, a phone cord charger or something like that. Sometimes we'll find that a trunk light or the glove compartment light is staying on or something like that, and oftentimes we'll find it in one of the computers that, you know, when you shut the vehicle off, they're supposed to time out over a period of time, and cause any draw to go away. If one of those is malfunctioning and doesn't time out, then that will cause a parasitic draw also. So they're mysterious animals to find, but we always find them, and it certainly can be repaired.
Phone number is 651-989-9226. You can call or text the program. Dan, from our text line, it just replaced the gas tank on my 94 F-150. Now the gas gauge shows beyond full with only 5 gallons in the tank. Can the PLC be recalibrated, or do I need to put in a resistor in the signal wire to match the resistance of the original sending unit? What can I do to fix this?
Well, I think I would think there's something wrong with the sending unit. It shouldn't be that way. Or the float on the sending unit was, when it was installed in the tank, got stuck on something, or is not moving like it's supposed to. But something like that has happened. But as far as trying to rewire it to mask a defective part, I would certainly not recommend that. I think you should find whatever piece it is that's malfunctioning and replace it. And it's probably doesn't have anything to do with reprogramming anything. The sending unit in a gas tank should pretty much just be plug and play. And, one thing that you could do is check your connections. Be sure that your connections are all plugged in correctly and that you didn't bend a little tab over in the process of plugging it in. But check all that. There's a good chance that sending unit is defective and will need to be replaced.
All right, we have time for one more quick call. Let's go to Sherry in Winthrop. Sherry, you're on the air with Dan Burns. Hello.
Good morning. Happy Easter weekend. I have a 2017 Subaru Outback, and about 6 weeks ago, I noticed that my passenger windows will not open from the driver's side. normally you can open all your windows from the driver's side. Mm-hmm. And they will open if you're sitting in the passenger side. It opens. It's fine. And I'm just wondering, is that something that if I go take it in and, have it plugged in, will it give me an error message and say this happened? Or is it something that maybe came unhooked somewhere?
My first thought is, did you push the lock button for the windows?
Yes, I know what you're talking about. I checked that. Okay. That was my first thing to check, too, because I thought, well, are they just locked? And no, yeah. That didn't help. So,
yeah. No, there is a quick connection where I'm going to get some information, but that is also a pretty easy fix. My first thought is it's in that master switch itself, where there's a problem that on the driver's door. If it was an older vehicle, I would say that quite commonly wires break in the hinging of the door, but that car's a 2017. That's too new to have broken wires yet, so I doubt that. So I think probably what you're going to find is that master switch in the driver's door is going to need to be replaced.
All right, Sherry, good luck. We're just fresh out of time. The hour went so quickly. We've got our weekly wine chat with Jack Farrell coming up here momentarily. Dan, how do people reach you at Lloyd's Automotive on fabulous Grand Avenue?
Well, you can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, LLOYDS, lloydsautomotive.net. Come on over. We're here and open for business every day, 982 Grand Avenue, or give us a call. As soon as this morning, we'll actually be open this morning, 651-228-1316.
All right, Dan, always good to visit with you. Have a great week.
Thanks, Steve. You too. Happy Easter to everybody.
Yep, there he is, Dan Burns, Lloyd's Automotive, Grand Avenue in St. Paul.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, no. nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.